what we say will encourage, especially our pastor, amen, who has been on the wall, amen, who has been heralding out this gospel for 10 years, amen. And we certainly thank God for him, amen. And so we hope that we can say something, a little something that will encourage not only him, but will encourage your heart as well. I'm going to have a favorite scripture of mine as I was contemplating and praying and just been anchored in this particular portion of scripture. 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. We're going to just read a few verses. Amen. And if you have it, amen, we ask that you would stand to your feet if you're physically able for the reading of God's word. Keisha, amen. Again, I'm just happy. I'm just, Barb, amen, just happy, amen. 2 Corinthians, you'll find that right after 1 Corinthians. Or, as your president would say, 2 Corinthians. Amen. Look, if you don't get it by then, you ain't going to get it at all. 2 Corinthians. I'll be reading from New King James Version, which might just be a little bit different from yours, but the principles are still the same. And listen to this, especially this first part. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Ain't that amazing? We have it in a treasure in earthen vessels. That the excellence. Verse 7, amen. Verse 7. Let me say that one more time. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Verse 7 is right after, guess what? Verse 6, amen. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. I think the King James says, not destroyed. I mean, distressed, thank you, distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, mine says struck down, but King James says cast down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. It wasn't you, amen. It's for Jesus' sake. Don't get upset. They're not mad at you. They're mad at Jesus. That the life of Jesus, amen, also may be manifested, shown in our mortal bodies. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Amen. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. Just for a few brief moments, I want to put a subject to this text, and call it His Power in Our Pots. His Power in Our Pots. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, we magnify you. For if it had not been, as David said, for the Lord on our side, now may we say, we would have been consumed, we would have been caught up, we would have been drifted away. God, we would have been destroyed. But thank you, because you reached down, saw us where we were, came where we were, and lifted us up. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you for this pastor, our pastor. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless and keep him, keep his family, oh God, in the name of Jesus. As you continue to herald out the gospel. Oh, Father God, Lord, we realize, Lord, that in the night that sometimes there may be days. Oh, Lord, when these things are going right and things are not going so well. But, Lord, thank you, because you are his strength. You are his keeper. Pray for Taylor Tabernacle. Lord, bless these people as they support and uplift our pastor. In the name of Jesus, we pray, God, for St. Mark and everyone that's represented today. Let your word fall on good ground. Father, we're not here to entertain, but we're here to edify, that someone may be edified. And Lord, if they just felt like giving up, today they say, I feel like going on. We thank you. We count it in Jesus' name. Amen. His power in our part. When my, oh, thank you. Amen. Sister Mary, where you at, Sister Mary? Amen. Sister Mary, oh, she's upstairs? Tell Sister Mary, amen. Pastor, tell her, I got it. Reverend Radcliffe, I got it. Amen. When my oldest daughter, amen, I'm not going to throw no shade on you, amen. When she received her master's degree, amen, we were all elated and we were very happy. I remember she said, Dad, you got to hang it up. And I said, definitely. And so I started thinking about the frames, Deacon Aaron. Like, what kind of frame should I get to put it in? Because, you know, it's a nice piece of paper, and I want the frame to stand out. And as I began to look and start pricing, then I realized, no, I don't want the frame to stand out after these prices. Amen. Like, oh, frames. But yet I still said, okay, let's sit up. But then I realized that no matter how much the cost of the frame that I get, very few people are really going to look at the frame and admire the frame. Because guess what? It's not the frame that's going to draw the attention. It's what's inside. It's what's inside the frame. And because it's a diploma, it's what speaks. The diploma speaks, not the frame. It's because the diploma says a lot. It says that, hey, you know, they've studied, they knights of so forth and so on. And so therefore I realized that, hey, definitely not the frame, but what's inside the frame. And so it is that as we see right here in our text today, I believe Paul is conveying this same particular thought about, look here, it's not what you have on the outside, but it's what you have on the inside. And somebody who knows about that is the Apostle Paul. He knows what it's like to be without Christ. And in fact, he was so against Christ, he even killed those who were for Christ. But that was B.C., before Christ. You know, when you don't have Christ before, you start to act a little foolish. Now, I know some of y'all never acted foolish. Y'all never sinned. You never did. I'm not talking to you all. I'm talking to those who realize and say, hey, you know what? When I was without Christ, I was doing in and everything. But thanks be to God, it was through his grace, through his mercy, that he picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on solid. I am so grateful because guess what? Had I been left up to my own and had he judged me, as the psalm said, he hath not dealt with us according to our iniquity. That's where you get mercy from, church. That's why we praise God for his mercy. Because had he dealt with me, look, back then, I wouldn't be here today. That's why, look, when you see me coming with a praise, don't get crazy. Don't start hating. I'm praised because I just remembered, hey, God could have been cut off. But now that he's in Christ, after Christ, AC, he understands, hey, guess what? There's a difference. And so no matter what I've gone through, no matter how I've gone through it, it's still Christ on the inside. That's why he said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So let us look at the text. In verse 7, he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. First of all, he lets us know that it's a treasure. So your first question should be, well, what is the treasure? Is the treasure gold, gold coins, gold bullions? What exactly is the treasure? Well, if you go back up into verse 6, he tells us what the treasure is. Let me read verse 6 for you. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give, watch this, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There it is. I just gave you the treasure. Okay, you're still not with me? All right, here it is. Right there. He who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So therefore, we have this knowledge of the glory of God, guess where it's at? It's in the face of Jesus Christ. And so, therefore, that is the treasure that we have in earthen vessels. Notice, it's in earthen vessels. You talk about the glory of God. You know, many people say, oh, I just want the glory to shine. I just want the glory. But do you really know what that means when you say, let the glory of the Lord? In other words, that glory comes from the Hebrew word kabod, which means to shine, to be heavy. When God shines a light, it's like no other light that you've ever seen. And guess what? The light that God shines is not just a radiant light, but this is a light that gives illumination. Illumination to what? Illumination to the things that you were not aware of, because guess what? You were in darkness. You know how, can I bring it down to you a little bit? You thought you were all that and a bag of chips, but when God shone you, he realized that he let you know that you were nothing but clay jars. He let you know that you were nothing significant, but he loved you so much that guess what? He still died for you. But now that he has shone in my heart, I got light now. I can able to comprehend that, hey, God, I thank you, because guess what? You are so awesome. I can't give my praise to anybody else, because I realize you are awesome, and I didn't know it till you shone in my heart. So that's the light, and it's inside of us. And here's the difference, because Paul, if you go back to chapter 3, there was a point where Moses went up and met God, and when he met God, Moses said, Lord, I want to see you. He said, Moses, I can't let you see me, because if you do, you're going to die. He said, it's just as simple as that. He said, I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock. And when I hide you in the cleft of the rock, I'm going to let my backside come right by you and let you see my glory. Oh, I wish I had. So where's your church at? Hallelujah. Where's my church at? Hallelujah. He said, when he's with by Moses, the Bible says he came down from the mountain, and when he came down from the mountain, his face shone like light. That's glory. Amen. Look, he'd been with God. God showed him, do you see how good God just showed him a little bit, and guess what? It illuminates a whole lot. That's why we say all we need is just a word. Just one word. Just one word will do. I'm talking. Calm down, Scott. Calm down. I'm lecturing. But when that light came, he said, Moses had to put the veil over his face. And you know why he put the veil over his face? Because guess what? People would have been looking, trying to look at him and not look at the glory and start asking questions. See, when you've been with God and his glory is around you, and other folks don't understand it, they start asking questions. They start playing. Whoa, what happened to him? Look, I'm shouting. I just got healed. And guess what? The only thing you're going to sit back and ask is, does he take all that? You know what? You know why she didn't get healed? She went to the wrong doctor. She went to Dr. Kevorkian. She should have went to somebody else. But Moses had the veil on his face. Guess what? And the Bible, Paul said that glory, that light, it faded away. Oh, my God. That's important. It passed away. But now, that same glory that now shines in the face of Jesus. And guess what? Because it's in Jesus, it doesn't fade away. Because when Moses was with God, he was also with Jesus. And so now that since Moses is gone and has passed away, but now we have Jesus, guess what? That same glory still shines, and guess what? It'll never fade away. I wish I had somebody here that could help me. That's why we're so glad, because guess what? If I go come to church and y'all don't want to act like y'all know God, I still have the glory on the inside. I can go to the supermarket in the frozen food section and just think about the goodness of God and pull up a bag of wings and say, God, I thank you, because there was a time I wasn't able to buy, but God, I thank you because you're able to meet my needs. So that glory don't fade away. That's the treasure. But now, wait a minute. This is where, let me get It says the knowledge of the glory of God. So now, where do we get the knowledge from? That should be your next question, right? I know that's what y'all saying. Y'all saying, Scott, stop all this talking and get to where they're not, because we know that the glory is the light. That gives what? Illumination. So now that we're able to understand and comprehend who God is, even though he's far off, he still came right here with us so that we can understand God and his power. So now, where did we get the knowledge from? And Pastor, this is what I thought about you. I thank God for you and for preachers like you who are preaching this one thing. It's right here in verse number 5. Go with me, verse number 5. It says, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus. Pastor, nobody told you. Thank you for preaching Christ Jesus. You know why it's safe to preach Christ Jesus? Because guess what? If you start preaching yourself and start promoting yourself, you're in trouble. Because you're subject to cracks and falls and everything. But in Jesus, there is no failure. And the beautiful thing is that Jesus, God will always confirm his word. That's why we need more of the preaching of the gospel. Because the gospel is what? God's order of deliverance, north, east, west, and south. The good news. Last week, and St. Mark can tell you, all this last month and this month, probably through the whole year, I've been preaching from the book of Acts about the church. And on last Sunday, I spoke about when Peter, after the Holy Ghost had fell, and Peter began to preach the gospel. Amen. Because they thought that they were drunk. Okay? And so my subject was, Peaches, preach, preacher, preach. Because he said, I pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and, guess what? Daughters, women, never mind, we won't do that. Here we go. For those who don't think women can preach, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So my subject was, preach, preacher, preach. We had afternoon service. Am I right there, St. Mark? We had afternoon service. I didn't talk to the preacher, only to say hi. Hey, glad you're with us. And guess what his subject was? Proclaim the gospel. So therefore, you know you're on the right track when somebody can confirm what has already been said. The gospel will always confirm itself, because guess what? When you preach the gospel, that's what separates the any other gospel. People are preaching prosperity. You know what? I don't want to digress. But you know what? Somebody, a prominent preacher, had just declared that they're no longer preaching the prosperity gospel. And do you know some other rascals, some other jokers, now they all up against him? Oh, no, he shouldn't have done that. And they were usually the ones that were on his show. Amen, amen. But now, and all it is that you don't cut into their profit. But here this man just said, look here, I'm not preaching the gospel because it's a doctrine. It's not a gospel that, guess what, that God is backing. Because guess what? Look, well, I don't know whether you know it or not. God does not want everybody to be rich. Amen. Look, everybody can't be rich, because if they were rich, look, oh my God, where would you be at? Oh, you might not be in church on Sunday, but hey, I'm somewhere. But guess what? He's not calling you to be rich. He's not calling you to be millionaires. But I know one thing God is calling you for. He's calling every man to be born again. He's calling for every man to forsake sin. He's calling for every man to turn around. Repent. That's what he's calling for. That's what he's going to back up. The gospel. And I'm so glad that he's preaching the gospel. And he said, we do not preach ourselves. You know why? Because guess what? You ain't getting nothing. When you get Jesus, Rayetta, you got everything. But when you get us, Deacon McCoy, I know you're the songologist. Amen. And you probably know who wrote this. But remember since little, there used to be a song we used to sing back in the day. What you see is what you then. Y'all know that? Oh, y'all ain't been saved all your life. Come on now. Come on. I don't know who wrote that. Undisputed truth. I told you the song always though. I know. What you see, and guess what? We try to put on some stuff that ain't really us,
And then when you be with us for a little while, the stuff start coming off, then you say, oh, is this what I got?
Therefore, we do not preach ourselves, but we preach the gospel. And so therefore, that's how we come into the knowledge of the glory of God. Because we're preaching Christ Jesus. We're preaching Jesus and Him crucified. We're preaching Him, the only one who can save and convert. Amen? Amen. Now, we rejoice over that. We know that it's Jesus. We know that it's in clay pot, because that's what he said, earthen vessels. Earthen vessels, when back in the day, they made pots that were clay. And they were subject to human frailty. They were built with designs to hold some things, but as time and as anything, it could crack, right? So he refers to us as clay pots. And so, I was like, all right, well, thank you. Because, can I say a couple of things? One, this lets me know about God. How many of you would put your treasure in a clay pot? Not many. You know where you put it at? Inside the mattress. Zip it up. Way, way inside the mattress. All right. I would say with dust no moth can eat, but now you got to worry about bed bugs. But anyway. So you put it away. You put it away in a nice safe. That's where you would put it at because you trust that to keep it, right? So when I read this scripture, I said, well, God, do you trust me? I was happy. I was like, oh, well, God, he trusts me. But I found out it's not that he don't trust you, but he knows you. And because he knows you, he says, guess what? I won't leave it all up to you. I'll take the weight, the glory. Woo. See, that's what glory, that's the other thing of glory. Glory means light. And also, look it up. Don't think up. Google it. You got your bags there. Glory also means weighty. Weighty. So that's why weight. Like, so when God gave a word, when he gave the Ten Commandments, they were weighty, they were heavy. In other words, that word was so that it can't be disputed, it can't be torn apart, it leaves weight. And that's why, check this out, when you follow the word of God, it'll bring about a conviction that because it's the only thing that brings weight to you, and look, it'll weigh on your conscience. When you cuss your neighbor out, praise God, amen, the Holy Spirit, the glory of God will come and say, wait a minute, where is the love? It'll weigh on you that you have to say, you know what? I got to go back and apologize. I'm going to stop eating these collard greens. I'm going to get up off this table and go back because the weight of glory. So now, we got the glory. So he said, it's in this earthen vessel. He said, I'll take the responsibility. I'll take the glory. All you got to do is just shine. Let me shine in you. But now, watch this. Go on to verse 7. This is what got me, Cindy. He said, we are troubled on every side. Because I thought that when I got saved, everybody would like me. You know what I got saved? I started shouting. Woo. I was shouting. Because I said, boy, everything is going to get better now. So I started shouting again. People are going to start liking me because I got saved. I stopped shouting when I came to reality. I stopped shouting when I stepped on someone's toe and, ooh, it was a saint. Oh, my baby toe? Ooh, Lord. Oh, I'm sorry. I stopped shouting then after what they said. I stopped shouting when I found out that people who loved me really didn't love me. But then, Pastor, I got happy again. You know why I got happy? Because it wasn't me they were mad at. It wasn't outside. That's all they can go was outside. But it was what's on the inside. So now watch this. When Paul writes here, we are troubled on every side. He says, look here, you got that treasure in you? And check this word out. Ooh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Can I go back? It says that the excellence, somebody say excellence. Oh yeah, I got to get some. Y'all got to hear this one. The excellence of the power of God. See, God's power is excellent. And that's just the word that he can only describe, the English word, because it's more than excellent, but that's just the best word. Here it is. He said it's excellent, and he first shows us that. He says in the first part of chapter 6, for it is what God who commanded light out of dark. No, ain't no, nobody can do that but God. Have you, oh my God, I'm trying to talk, Shante. But have you ever experienced when God done something in your life and you thought it was just impossible and you had to realize, look here, it ain't nobody but God. I can tell you stories where I knew it was nobody but God. He said, but God who spoke and light shine. So when there was darkness, all God had to do was shine. God spoke. Oh, are y'all getting this? God spoke. Glory. Gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the glory, where it shine in Jesus, down in us. And God spoke. Oh, the glory. Light came out. But oh my God, the glory. Hallelujah. He says, in order for you to understand the excellence of the power, one, you have to know my word. Watch my word work. And watch my word work not only in the atmosphere, but watch my word work in you. Oh, thank you, church. Thank you, thank you. So he says, don't get upset, Mr. Samuels, because it's not you, it's me. So guess what? He says, we are troubled on every side. You look around, there's trouble everywhere. You look around, there's trouble in your home. You look around, there's trouble in the school. You look around, there's trouble on your neighborhood. But we're not talking about just any old kind of trouble. We're talking about trouble for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. People are mad because you proclaim the gospel. When you go to folks and folks say, hey, look, Red, what are we going to do? Let's pray. Let's pray. Oh, is that all you got? Yes, that's all I got. Let's pray. Because it was God who commanded light. If anybody can turn this situation around, it's nobody but God. Let's go to God. That's all you got to do to say? That's all? Look, everything in this pot is nothing, but it's the power in the pot that's working. We're troubled on every side, but yet not distressed. Can I say something here? Kirby, I'm almost back to my half hour. Amen. But well, look at this. This is where you got to see. You got to see it. Can we go back to B.C.? And I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about them other ones out there. When somebody says something to you, and man, that was it. All I just needed was, I wish you would say something to me. And look, smoke coming out your head, and there ain't no fire nowhere. There's no wood, no ember, nothing. No oxygen around that. But man, if they say something, ooh, child. That's what you would do before Christ. When you had something in the pot that wasn't worth anything, but now you have the glory. See, so now when you're troubled before then, that was you who was on display. But now that you have glory on the inside, you have his power on the inside, even though we're troubled on every side, and you know what? Can we be real? Can I keep it real? I'm going to talk to a few Christians. You know what? Rev, I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized. And guess what? They got on my nerves. And something came out. I thought I was in despair. But here's the excellence. when you can take it and don't say nothing? Because like Jesus, he was a lamb, a sheep, led before his slaughter, and he didn't say, we're troubled on every side. Yes, not distressed. Perplexed. Confused. Bamboozled. Hoodwinked. Sideswiped. What? Oh! Everything. I don't understand. That's what perplexed means. Especially among the brethren. But that's all right. Even though you're perplexed, you're not in despair. It's one thing to be in a situation that's hopeless. I remember, I thank God for our matriarch. She had a saying. She always said, as long as there's life, there's hope. And how many people, church, have committed suicide because they have given up on hope? That's why it's so important for us to preach the gospel so that they can know the hope. Paul said, the hope of glory. Oh, my. Oh, I'm done. But guess what? Even though we're perplexed, we're not in despair. We're persecuted. They're talking about us. They're hurting us not only. And in those days, they hurt them physically. Amen. Not just emotionally. And you know what? It's pretty bad when you're hurt emotionally. It's something when somebody hurts your feelings. It's almost as worse as somebody putting a knife in your back. But thank God. It says, even though we're persecuted, we are not forsaken. Because sometimes you look around and it looks like it's just you and you alone. But instead of looking outside, look inside. There's something shining in the darkness. There's something shining in the darkness. It says, unless we are cast down, but not destroyed. Remember what I told you? It's one thing. Can I say this? It's one thing to accidentally knock a pot or a vase down. Ooh. You remember those two cats Nana had? Ceramic cats? And boy, they were prized. They were all two red cats standing up. Ceramic. Evangelist Kim. And she always said, don't go over there. Don't be playing over there. Don't go near it. And I never will forget. I didn't heed the word. And I went near it. And the cat broke. And I cried. You should see me. It broke kind of in half. I'm trying to put the top on. Praying, look, Nana, if you go near it, you broke it. Bless you. Because I knew that would be it. But that was an accident. Look at what Paul is saying. He said, we are cast down. We are intentionally and deliberately being thrown down. And that hurts when it's deliberate. And you haven't done nothing at all but give God glory. You're a tithe payer. You on the usher board, you on the choir, you're singing, and literally somebody cast you down. And they cast you down, watch this, with the intent of destroying you. They ain't cast you down because they like you. They have an intent to destroy you. But I'm so glad. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm so glad that even though we're cast down, we are not destroyed. Somebody ought to give God a praise right there. And so therefore, it says here, in verse 9, we'll read these two verses. Verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Christ may be manifested in our bodies. For we who are alive are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. That the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal bodies. So then death worked in us. But it is what? It is life in you. This is a perplexing thing, but I want you to know, church, that sometimes in order for that power to be shown, you've got to go through. In order for that power to shine that others may see, you've got to suffer for him. But guess what? Always keep it in your body and always keep it in your mind that guess what? It is his death, because when I realize and think about his death, the one thing I know, he suffered on the cross. He died on the cross. He was buried. But guess what? He got up out of the grave. I want you to know you got to go through. And so I'm concluding right now. I know you're happy. It ain't been 3 hours. Amen. But if I can just leave you with this thought, I'm reminded of a story. I feel like preaching now. Good God Almighty. I'm reminded of a story about a rookie football player. He was a new man on the team. And the older players, they said, well, in order to initiate this guy, we're going to do something to him to see if he could make the team. And so what they did, they took this rookie player and they tied him around the goal pole. And they tied him with duct tape. Somebody say duct tape. And not only did they tie him once, they tied him twice, and they tied him 3 times from neck to toe that he could not move. He could not get out of that tape. He was stuck in that situation. And so they said, well, brother, we're going to go to bed, and it's all up to you. So when they tied him up, they thought they would leave him out there all night long. Good God Almighty. And so he remembered what his mother said. His mother said, son, whenever you get into trouble, all you got to do is pray and believe God, and God will deliver you. So he looked up all being tied up. He said, Lord, I believe if you would get me out of this. And just about at that time, it started to thunder and lightning. And so it started thundering and lightning, and it started drizzling. He looked up again and said, Lord, please get me out of this. I don't want to be here all night. Please. And about that time, the clouds opened up and it started pouring down. Good God Almighty. And so he gave up. He said, I guess God is not going to get me out. It rained hard for about a half hour. And then when it finally stopped raining, the young man looked up in the sky and said, there ain't no hope. I'm going to be out here all night. But by that time, he noticed that his hands could begin to move. He said, wait a minute. Before I was here, when I started out, I was all tied up and I could not move. But after the rain came, guess what? I'm able to move. And so about that time, the other players came out when it was morning. They looked and saw that the tape was on the ground. They went to his room and they saw the young man fast asleep. They woke him up and said, hey, young fella, how in the world did you get out of that? He said, a man came by. They said, wait a minute. Say, what man came by? The gate was locked up. The gate was secured. Nobody came. He said, yes, he did. He came when I called on him. He came and got in. He got in through the blue. He got in when I was stuck. He got in when I was tied up. He got in and set me free. Why? Because the power, anybody know? Anybody been tied up? Anybody been bound? I tell ya, the call of the power. Can you give God? Woo! Hallelujah! I was covered, but the power, yeah. have a witness? Do I have a witness? And guess what? As I look around, some of you, you're still tied up. You're still bound. But I come to declare today that if you just let the light, the glory of God that is in you shine forth, I guarantee you, not only will you come out, but you'll come out singing a brand new song. Not only will you come out, but you'll come out with a testimony. And you know what to say. You'll start saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You'll start saying, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Give God a praise. His power in my part. Woo! There it is. Woo! That the life of Christ may be shown. His power in my part. Come on, clap those hands right there. Hallelujah. For we preach not ourselves, but the gospel, that the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in Jesus Christ has now shone in our hearts. You mean to tell me this broken down pot? You mean to tell me this broken up clay? You mean to tell me this good looking clay, guess what? That's susceptible to frailty. Look. This is why I know he's worried about the inside. He's more concerned about the inside. Because guess what? I know you the beauty queen. I know you won Miss Pennsylvania. Now you're on your way to Nevada to win that one too. But guess what? Keep on living. After a while, those pretty things you used to have, they are soon going to change. Oh my God, I'm going to stop right there. But let me tell you something. There's one thing that never changes. And it's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's excellent. On the inside, that's God's power and the glory. Ministers, come forward. Hallelujah. Is there one?